Good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning. Today's speakers, in order of appearance, will be Rear Admiral Michael Sila, Director of the NOAA Corps and NOAA's Office of Marine and Aviation Operations, followed by Dr. Neil Jacobs, NOAA Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Environmental Observation and Prediction. And our final speaker will be Dr. Daniel Knutsky, Acting Deputy Administrator at FEMA. Their bios are available on the media sign-up table in the back of the room. Following their remarks, there will be a short question and answer section, and some of our speakers will be available after the press conference concludes for additional one-on-one interviews. Dr. Jerry Bell, the lead hurricane seasonal forecaster, is also here today and will join us for the Q&A session. The Outlook press release will be distributed to those in the room and will be available on NOAA.gov and NOAA's social media channels as they are released by Dr. Jacobs' remarks. And with that, I would like to welcome Admiral Sila. Thank you.
Good morning. On behalf of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, I'd like to welcome you to NOAA's Aircraft Operations Center. We're proud to host this event, the 2018 Hurricane Outlook, here at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. 1 year ago, we moved into our new home in Lakeland on time, as promised. Gene Conrad and his team here at Lakeland Linder knew we needed to be ready for hurricane season on June 1st. They certainly delivered when we needed them most. With that move complete, we were able to meet the challenges of a very busy hurricane season. During that 2017 hurricane season, NOAA crews worked around the clock to ensure the success of every flight. Even as Hurricane Irma forced the evacuation of our families and ultimately passed over this building, we continued to meet NOAA's primary mission of saving lives. In doing so last season, NOAA flew more than 500 hours to support better hurricane forecasts and emergency response. The professionals who operate, maintain, and support the NOAA hurricane hunters you see here play a critical role in delivering accurate hurricane forecasts. But we aren't alone. NOAA is proud to work with our partners in FEMA, the Air Force and Coast Guard, as well as other federal, state, and local partners to protect lives. Our preparations are well underway to ensure we're ready for the 2018 hurricane season, and yours should be too. Again, on behalf of the NOAA Aircraft Operations Center, thank you for joining us today. And with that, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Neil Jacobs, Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Environmental Prediction at NOAA.
Thank you, Admiral Sila, for hosting today's event here at NOAA's Aircraft Operations Center. This is an impressive facility, and congratulations on your upcoming first anniversary here in Lakeland. Our primary goal for today's hurricane outlook is to encourage the public to prepare now before the hurricane season, which begins on June 1st. This includes making emergency and evacuation plans with family members, and preparation measures for businesses in regions that could be impacted by a hurricane. We will hear more about the preparedness from FEMA shortly. At NOAA, we strive to deliver the world's best regional and global weather models. We are making significant advancements for the 2018 hurricane season. Before I announce the Atlantic hurricane season outlook, I would like to highlight a few ways NOAA is ready to keep the public safe this hurricane season. First, NOAA's fleet of Earth-observing satellites is more robust than ever. With GOES 16 now GOES East, providing imagery throughout the Western Atlantic and North America, allowing forecasters to analyze storm development better than ever before. Another new addition to our fleet is the polar orbiting satellite NOAA 20, which is collecting global observations that improve the accuracy and reliability of our weather models. It is NOAA's medium-range weather forecast that emergency managers and businesses have come to depend on when faced with a hurricane or other significant weather event. Satellites are the source of much of the essential data that are ingested into the global forecast models, and the models are the foundation on which the rest of NOAA's weather forecasting is built. Regarding computer forecast models, the National Weather Service will run a version of the Global Forecast System with a finite volume cube sphere dynamical core, FV3, alongside our current GFS model during the 2018 hurricane season. In addition to routine incremental upgrades, This will mark the first revolutionary dynamic core upgrade to NOAA's flagship weather model in almost 40 years and represents the first step in re-engineering NOAA's models towards a unified forecasting system which will provide the best possible numerical weather prediction for the nation. NOAA's hurricane-specific model, the Hurricane Weather Research and Forecast System, HWRF, will receive an upgrade to offer forecasters greater resolution than ever before, increasing the model resolution to 1.5 kilometers near the center of the storm. This upgrade will extract greater value from new data sets, including sensor data from NOAA's fleet of aircraft and operational satellites. Additionally, hurricanes in a multi-scale ocean-coupled non-hydrostatic HMON model was implemented for the first time in 2017. And this will undergo upgrades for this season, including greater resolution, new physics, and coupling with an ocean model on the new NOAA Environmental Modeling System Framework. And, of course, the NOAA aircraft that call this hangar home collect data from inside, over, and around developing and fully mature tropical systems, which provide essential input to the weather models to improve the track and intensity forecasts. Many of the brave men and women who support these high-tech aircraft and fly these planes into the storms are here with us today. Please join me in a round of applause and appreciation for their bravery and service to our country. South of here, in Miami, where I grew up, the National Hurricane Center has welcomed its new director, Ken Graham. His decades-long career at NOAA has prepared him to lead the team of forecasters and continue to build on the relationships between NHC and the emergency management community. This year, the Hurricane Center is again narrowing the width of its forecast track cone. Over the past 9 years, the cone has shrunk by more than 30%. Helping emergency managers and communities make more targeted decisions to support public safety. During a hurricane, it is important to remember that the hazards of wind and water can occur well outside of the cone. NHC's arrival time of tropical storm force wind graphic will become operational this season. This graphic displays the earliest reasonable arrival time of tropical storm force winds, at which point further preparedness activities could be hindered. A second graphic displays the most likely arrival time of tropical storm force winds. Additionally, the key message graphic will now be available on NHC's website along with other tropical cyclone products. The graphic highlights essential points about hazards and forecast uncertainty for tropical cyclones posing a significant threat to land. For a full list of new and improved services from the National Hurricane Center, please visit their homepage, hurricanes.gov. Together, NOAA's suite of sophisticated technologies from next-generation models to satellite data, along with new and improved forecast and graphical products, enable decision-makers and the general public to take advantage before, during, and after hurricanes, increasing community resilience and helping to build a more weather-ready nation. I will now present the 2018 Atlantic hurricane season outlook, which includes Atlantic, Gulf of Mexico, and the Caribbean from June 1st through November 30th. We expect 10 to 16 named storms with top winds of at least 39 miles an hour. Of those, 5 to 9 will become hurricanes with top winds of at least 74 miles an hour, including 1 to 4 major hurricanes reaching Category 3 strength or higher. These numbers are based on probabilities of a 40% chance of a near-normal Atlantic season, 35% chance of an above-normal season, and 25% chance of below-normal activity. Atmospheric and oceanic conditions that factored into this outlook include near-neutral ENSO with a possibility of a weak El Nino developing, near-average sea surface temperatures across the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean, and a weekly warm Atlantic multi-decadal oscillation. This outlook is made possible by the work of Dr. Jerry Bell, lead seasonal hurricane forecaster at NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, and his team. Dr. Bell is here today and can address questions you may have about the outlook during the Q&A session. Dr. Bell and his expert team of scientists produce this outlook based on a comprehensive set of analyses and statistical and dynamical forecast models, many of which we have recently developed, but rely on decades of archived weather and climate observations. In summary, the outlook suggests that we will experience a near or above normal hurricane season this year, and NOAA is taking great strides to deliver the world's best regional and global weather models to keep you informed ahead of an approaching storm. While we cannot prevent the storms themselves, we can take action to better prepare for such events and their impacts on our communities. I would now like to invite FEMA's Dr. Daniel Kanuski to discuss what people can do to prepare for this upcoming season. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dan Kanuski. I'm the Deputy Administrator for Protection and National Preparedness at FEMA. Thank you to NOAA for hosting us today. I think we can all acknowledge the great work that the National Weather Service does, as well as NOAA and the National Hurricane Center, to prepare all of us, to alert all of us, to make sure that all of us are as knowledgeable as possible about the risk we face for the 2018 hurricane season. With that, I'd like to briefly highlight some of the actions that we are taking at FEMA in light of the 2017 hurricane season for this year. First, we conducted a comprehensive after-action review of the 2017 season that captured lessons learned and updated policies, procedures, doctrine, and programs at FEMA to make sure that we as an agency are maximally prepared. Now, based on these lessons, we also released our strategic plan recently. That's a 5-year strategic plan that sets the course for where we see FEMA in the future. The strategic plan includes 3 goals. Number 1, fostering a culture of preparedness, something we'll talk about today. 2, catastrophic readiness. 3, reducing the complexity of FEMA programs. Now, we've also updated our operational plans, streamlined and simplified some of our procedures, pre-positioned commodities in hurricane-prone areas, and recently conducted a national-level exercise simulating a mid-Atlantic hurricane strike with our federal, state, and local partners. Now, as the federal government leans forward, we're urging the public to take steps now to prepare so that when the time comes, they are empowered with life-saving skills to help speed response and recovery activities. There's some simple steps that all of us can take. Consider downloading the FEMA app. It's available in both English and Spanish from the Android or Apple stores, and it provides checklists, maps of shelters, weather alerts, as well as emergency tips. Also, take a few minutes and create a communications and evacuation plan for your family. Your family might not be together when disaster strikes, so plan ahead for how you will contact one another and reconnect following a disaster. Also, be financially prepared. Disasters are very expensive. You may have to cover out-of-pocket costs until FEMA assistance or other types of assistance can be made available. Go to ready.gov for tools and resources about how to strengthen your financial preparedness for tips on collecting and securing personal financial, insurance, medical, and other records, and check on your insurance coverage. Talk to your insurance agents about your current coverage, whether you're an owner, a renter, or a business owner. Having insurance will ensure that you will kickstart recovery far more quickly and more completely than any other type of financial assistance that FEMA could provide. I encourage everyone to go to ready.gov, check out what you can do, and if you don't have flood insurance, please go to floodsmart.gov. Thank you to NOAA. Thanks to all of you. We look forward to answering your questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask any questions or you do have any comments, please press star 1.
Thanks again to all of our speakers. We will now start the Q&A session. We will start with any questions from reporters in the room. Just please raise your hand and we'll hand a microphone to you. Please state your name and affiliation, and we'll get your questions answered. And I'd also like to welcome Dr. Jerry Bell to the stage. He's the lead hurricane season forecaster. Operator, we're going to start with questions in the room first, but can you please give our callers instructions on how they may be in the queue to answer to ask a question?
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1. Again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments.
Okay. And with that, we will take questions in the room. Due to time limitations, we're going to try to get as many questions in as possible. We just ask that questions stick to the outlook and some of the discussions we covered today. I'll be happy to take any other non-outlook-related questions with you following the press event. So first question.
Elizabeth, the CNN News Source, thanks so much for having this conference. I wanted to ask, is there any information available on what kind of activity we can predict to see in the Caribbean, specifically Puerto Rico?
This is Jerry Bell. Typically, with a more active season, the entire region around the Caribbean Sea, as well as both the Gulf and Atlantic coast of the United States, are at an increased threat. We don't. The seasonal outlook is not a hurricane landfall prediction. It's for the overall seasonal activity. But when you have a more active season, near or above normal, like we're predicting this year to be most likely, that's when you have more storms forming in the tropical Atlantic, and those storms tend to track farther westward. That's why the Caribbean and the continental United States are more at risk. We know certain areas have been compromised from last year's storms, and that makes hurricane preparedness even more important this year, because you're living with homes that may and other things that just aren't as hurricane prepared as you may have had last year. So hurricane preparedness is even more important this year.
Hello, Melissa Marino with News Channel 8. My question is, how does this outlook compare to other seasons in the past? I know you kind of just mentioned active seasons. Can you reiterate on that a little bit?
Well, we're predicting 10 to 16 tropical storms. The average is 12, so that's average or above. We're also predicting 5 to 9 hurricanes. That's quite a few hurricanes. We're not expecting this season to be one of the most active on record. There's no strong climate signal saying it's going to be extremely active like last year or extremely weak. We're expecting a near-average season, which means a lot of storms forming in the Atlantic, which, again, means this is time to start getting prepared for the hurricane season.
Hey there, Bo Zibber from WTSP here in the Tampa Bay area. Two questions. How accurate have you been in previous years, or have you missed your mark on these types of predictions? And then number two, can you just explain for folks who may not be meteorologists at home what some of the environmental conditions that are leading to this type of prediction?
Jerry Bell again. The ranges that we give are with a 70% probability of occurrence. Those ranges reflect uncertainties in the prediction of the climate factors that go into the outlook. And also, they reflect the fact that for a given set of climate conditions, you can't specify exactly the number of storms and hurricanes. Our verifications, then, we would expect our ranges of tropical storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes to be correct 70% of the time, and they are. It turns out, as far as climate factors and kind of what's the scientific basis behind the outlooks, it turns out there's a couple of dominant climate factors that strongly control the wind and air pressure patterns across the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea. And by predicting these climate patterns, and really their combined impacts, we can often make a confident forecast for the season as a whole. One of those climate factors is the El Niño-La Niña cycle that Dr. Jacobs mentioned. El Niño acts to increase the wind shear, which suppresses hurricanes. We might get a weak El Niño to maybe suppress the latter part of the season this year. That's an uncertainty in this outlook. Its counterpart, La Niña, like we had last year, reduces the wind shear, favors a lot more hurricanes. We don't expect La Niña this year. Another major climate factor is one that controls hurricane activity for decades at a time. Its technical name is the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation. That pattern has been in its conducive phase since 1995, and as a result, we've been seeing a lot more active hurricane season since 1995. We saw a similar high activity era back in the 1950s and 60s. So again, by predicting these climate factors through monitoring, research, tremendous use of climate models that have just evolved unbelievably, even in the last 10 years. We've gone a long ways to improving the confidence in these seasonal outlooks.
Any other questions in the room or in the hangar? Okay, do we have any questions on the phone?
Thank you. John Schwartz from New York Times. You may go ahead, sir.
Hi, folks. Thanks for meeting with us today. I was wondering, whoever wants to talk about it, there's a strain of thinking that that these annual predictions might have a hidden risk for people if you think it's going to be average or below average, or this year slightly above, that it only takes one. So you could get a sense of ease that they could be counterproductive. Could you talk a little bit about that and what one hurricane can do?
Could you repeat your question?
Are these predictions misleading in some ways since a single hurricane can do so much damage?
Can we go to another question, operator?
I'm sorry?
Oh, can you restate your question?
Certainly. My question is, I've heard from experts in the past that these predictions can be somewhat misleading or lead people a false sense of security, because even in the lightest hurricane seasons, a single storm can do so much damage. Could you comment on that?
Sure. This is Jerry Bell again. Absolutely, regardless of the seasonal hurricane prediction, Atlantic and Gulf Coast residents need to prepare every single year for the hurricane season, because we know hurricanes can strike in a week in a relatively quiet year. We know, like last year, that we can get a lot of hurricanes striking in a very active season. So now is the time to start preparing for this hurricane season, because at these timescales, we simply cannot predict how many storms might actually make landfall. And it turns out that the threat from hurricanes is not just for the near coastal communities. There's over 80 million people in the continental U.S. between Atlantic Coast and Gulf Coast that could potentially be impacted by a hurricane. More inland people through strong winds and inland flooding, which is a major cause of death now. So there's tens and tens of millions of people that need to heed the warning that hurricane season is coming and that you need to start preparing now.
Operator, next question, please.
Brian Sullivan from Bloomberg News, you may go ahead.
Hey, thank you. My question is simply with the possibility of a weak La Nina, would it form in time to even have an impact on this year's hurricane season, or is it going to be too late to really have any kind of a measurable influence?
Right now, we're expecting to have no El Nino or La Nina. That state is referred to as ENSO neutral. But there's a lot of uncertainty in these types of predictions with El Nino and La Nina at this time of the year. The models are suggesting, and the latest forecast from the Climate Prediction Center are suggesting, that El Nino could possibly develop later in the season. If it does develop during October-November time frame, and it develops of sufficient strength, then it could possibly shut down or weaken the latter part of the season. But right now, if El Nino does not form and the Atlantic Ocean temperatures warm up a bit from where they are now, we could certainly see the seasonal activity near the higher end of the predicted ranges.
Any other questions on the phone?
We do have one more. Chris Wilson from Time Magazine. You may go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for joining. For those on the phone, if you have any follow-up questions, please call 202-740-8314, and we'll connect you with the right expert. Thank you again so much for joining.
thoughts on that.